My dearly beloved, as I had mentioned last Sunday, today is what we call a second-class feast, and therefore it takes precedence over the Sunday, and the Mass of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary is offered today instead of the Sunday Mass, with the Mass of the 17th Sunday after Pentecost being, as we say, commemorated, having the orations sung after the principal oration of the Mass. And so let us reflect briefly this morning on the seven sorrows of Our Lady. Holy Mother Church gives them to us as the prophecy of Simeon, the flight into Egypt, the loss of our Lord in the temple for 3 days, the meeting that took place between the Son and the Mother on the way to Calvary, the crucifixion of our Lord at which our Lord stood at the foot of the cross, the sixth sorrow, the taking down of the body of our Lord from the cross and being laid in the arms of his mother, and then the seventh sorrow, our Lord being laid in the tomb. So these are the seven principal sorrows of Our Lady, not that they were her only sorrows, because really Our Lady's entire life was a life of sorrow, which indeed is a mystery for us. So I would like to go through the seven sorrows in a bit more detail and then conclude with some general reflections upon the sorrows of our Blessed Mother. First of all, let us go through her sorrows briefly, examining what Our Lady experienced in that particular sorrow. The first sorrow was the prophecy of Simeon when 40 days after the birth of our Lord, he was presented in the temple to God, and the aged priest Simeon gave the prophecy to Our Lady. He said, "This child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be contradicted. And," he said to Our Lady, "thy own soul a sword shall pierce." Now, at those words of Simeon, all of the joy of the Nativity and the adoration of the Magi and of the shepherds, all of that disappeared. And Our Lady was reminded of the various prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah and how the Messiah would suffer and be put to death. And all of that scripture came to her mind. And from that point on, for her entire life, she was very much aware of our Lord's sufferings, and she experienced a deep pain of sorrow. What very striking words were not used by the priest Simeon when he said, "Thy own soul a sword shall pierce." Striking terminology, that a very sword would pierce the heart and the soul of our Blessed Mother. And thus we see Our Lady depicted in the seven sorrows with a sword, or sometimes even with seven swords, piercing her heart to indicate the depth of the sorrow that Our Lady experienced. The second sorrow was the flight into Egypt when Saint Joseph took our Blessed Mother and the Divine Child in the middle of the night and fled into the pagan land of Egypt because Herod was seeking the death of our Lord. Our Lady was caused many sorrows by this one event. First of all, the sorrow knowing that Herod was plotting and seeking to kill her son. The fact that she had to flee in the middle of the night with the Divine Child, that she had to go into a pagan land where they lived in poverty without any friends or relatives, in the midst of this paganism, fleeing for their lives, and how she was so sorrowful that she could not provide better for the Divine Child in that land of exile. The third sorrow was the loss of the child Jesus in the temple for 3 days. And many authors state that this was perhaps the greatest sorrow of Our Lady, because she did not know why our Lord separated himself from her and Saint Joseph. She thought that perhaps she had offended him, and thus he left her presence. She didn't know where he was. She didn't know if she would ever see him again. And thus the third sorrow was a very deep sorrow during those 3 days of loss of the child Jesus. The fourth sorrow was the beginning of the Passion. Our Lady knew that the scourging, the crowning with thorns had taken place, but she didn't see our Lord. And when he was carrying his cross to Calvary, she went with St. John and some holy women to a place in the road where she would see him pass. And what was the sorrow that pierced her heart when she saw our divine Lord burdened under the weight of the cross, being mocked and ridiculed and spat upon and kicked as he went along the road. And as some authors say, when she saw his face, she didn't even know at first that it was her own son. So disfigured was he, that from a distance, as she saw this man carrying the cross, she said, "Who is that poor man who is being treated in such a way?" And then as he came closer, she realized this was her own adorable son. What a pang of sorrow must have pierced her heart as she would wish to go out there and carry the cross instead of our Lord. And as she saw all that he suffered. And then at the top of Calvary, she stood for 3 hours, faithfully stood at the foot of the cross as he died upon it, wishing to place herself on the cross instead of her divine son, but being unable to do anything to alleviate his sufferings. In the sixth sorrow, the body of our Lord is taken down from the cross and laid in her arms. And there she could see at close range the gaping wounds of the holes made by the nails and in the side by the lance. And how she thought of our Lord as an infant, how she cuddled and held this dear little child. And now she was holding the same body, now grown into a man, on her lap. And there he was, lifeless. The lifeless body of her son. What a deep sorrow that must have been. One that has been captured in history, in painting and sculpture, in what we call the Pietà. And finally, the seventh sorrow, the body of our Lord is laid in the tomb, the stone is rolled over the entrance, and he is taken from her eyes. She is now permanently separated from him, at least until the resurrection. So these are the seven principal sorrows of Our Lady. It is very beneficial for us to meditate on Our Lady's sorrows, to offer our compassion to Our Lady in the midst of her sorrows, to try to atone for the sins of the world that caused her so much sorrow. By meditating upon her sorrows, we realize that our crosses are really so small and so light by comparison, that it helps us to not complain. By meditating on Our Lady's sorrows, we conceive a contempt and hatred of sin. We realize that it was only sin that caused the passion and death of our Lord and caused the sorrows of Our Lady, nothing else. We also know that Our Lady was perfectly innocent. She never committed the slightest sin. And so we ask ourselves, why? Why did she have to experience so great sorrow, being utterly sinless and innocent? And we know the answer to that. Our Lord wished to repair the sin of Adam. And just as Adam sinned by disobedience, so the new Adam, who is Christ, saved us by his obedience to the will of his Father. And as the first Adam ate of the fruit of a tree, so Christ would die hanging from the tree of the cross to repair that sin of Adam. But there also was a woman who cooperated with the downfall of the human race by offering the forbidden fruit to her husband Adam. And so there should also be a new Eve who, by her humility, by her obedience to the laws of God, would repair the harm brought to the human race by the first Eve and by the first Adam. And so that is why the fathers of the church call our Blessed Mother the new Eve, as they call Christ a second Adam, the new Adam. And our Lord wished to have the cooperation of a woman as co-redemptrix, united with his own redemption, his own act of redemption. Not that the sorrows of our Blessed Mother were necessary for our redemption, because the sacrifice of Christ was of infinite value, sufficient to redeem a million worlds. But according to the providence of Almighty God, it was fitting that the sorrows of our Blessed Mother should be united with the passion and death of her divine Son and offered for our salvation. And so our Blessed Mother then is called the co-redemptrix. She is also called the Queen of Martyrs because she suffered enough in her soul to
to cause the death of her body and even the death many times over. According to St. Bonaventure, that the suffering she experienced at the foot of the cross, if divided among hundreds, thousands of people, would be sufficient to cause the death of all of them. So great, so incredible was her pain, was her sorrow. It is much easier to suffer physical pain than sorrow, interior pain of the soul. Those who have experienced deep sorrow know exactly what I'm talking about. Interior anguish of heart and soul and mind is far more poignant, far more painful than even physical suffering, even though physical suffering affects us more when we think about it. But it is the pain, the interior pain, that is the greatest. And thus Our Lady truly was the Queen of Martyrs, even though she experienced no pain in her body. She experienced far more pain than all of the martyrs ever did because of the pain of heart and soul that she experienced for us. Many saints sanctified themselves by meditating upon the sorrows of our Blessed Mother. And also by meditating upon her sorrows, we can avoid sin. And we can learn to value suffering because we ask ourselves the question, why? We, as humans, always ask why. We want to know the reason for things. And so we say, well, why would our Blessed Mother have to suffer so much when she was so sinless? Why did God do that? Why did God allow that? And there's a very good answer to that. Not that we know the full answer. But the saints tell us that those whom God loves, He blesses with the cross. And we read this in the lives of many saints, that as they grew in holiness and as they became closer to God, they actually wanted to suffer something for God. Because they meditated upon the passion of Christ, and they thought, if I love our Lord, I should undergo difficulty or the cross, just as He proved His love for me by dying on the cross. So those whom God loves, He blesses with the gift of suffering. And the cross comes in many ways, in many shapes, in many different kinds. But everything that we experience that goes against our own likes and feelings and our own preferences, all of that is a cross. And if we carry it with patience, with resignation, it is very sanctifying for the soul. Our Blessed Mother, then, is the Queen of all saints, experienced far more pain than all the others. And let us, after her example, strive to carry our cross, realizing that the cross will sanctify us. The lives of the saints, books on the lives of the saints, are filled with stories of saints who experienced a tremendous trial or suffering, and that was the source of their conversion. I think of, for example, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, among so many others who could be mentioned, who in their youth were vain, were proud, were pleasure-seeking worldlings. And then they were struck down, we might say, by God with a cross, and it made them enter into themselves. It made them pray, and they totally turned their lives around. And they never would have done so had they experienced no suffering, no pain. And so by experiencing the cross, they began to think of what really matters in life, and they began to live a more spiritual life, a more prayerful life, a more devout life. And so you see, God has His reasons. Even though we cannot fully understand or answer the question why Our Lady suffered so much, we know that she did, and we know that God permitted it, for our instruction, for our spiritual welfare, and for our salvation. Let us compassionate Our Lady in her sorrows, and let us learn from this to carry our cross and to strive to avoid sin, because it is sin that is the cause of her sorrow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.